Hello, my name is Susie. I'm a college student who is being prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel to unreached and unevangelized university students in East Asia. There are over 1.4 million people who make up the unreached people of this city that me and a team of seven other students from Second Mile Church will be going to this summer. There are many who have simply never heard of Jesus. God is opening the door for us to carry the message of the gospel to them. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, will you go with me through financial support and prayer? If you would like to partner with me in sharing the gospel in East Asia, you can send your love offering by April 15th to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417, Tucson, Arizona 85732. Again, that's addressed to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417, Tucson, Arizona 85732. Now, please attach a note with "My name, Susie" when sending your love offering, and thank you so much for your support.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Amber May Show. I am excited about today's guest. You will hear her tomorrow at 4 o'clock on 10:10 a.m. And that's right, I have Helen Wheels Gibson. I'm so excited.
Let the good times roll.
That's it. She is a Hollywood producer. Her first feature film that she has produced was Carla Faye?
Uh-huh. Carla Faye Tucker.
Carla Faye Tucker. She's been in radio and TV and film for about 25 years. She started out in radio, right?
Yes, down in Yuma, Arizona. But I don't tell a whole lot of people, so shh.
And you know what's a blessing is that we have her back on our radio airwaves. So
yes.
That's exciting. And Helen is such a woman on for God. She's on fire, and she always brings a great word. So don't miss her program tomorrow. You're going to want to tune in 4 o'clock, 10:10 every Wednesday.
And I can say that about you, Miss Amber May.
Thank you.
People don't want to miss your show either. I get to watch it online as well, and I love that. Who would have thought radio online?
Yeah. And if you want to catch any of our shows, just go to familyvaluesradio.net, hit the video button, and you can watch Helen or any of the other...
Iron Sharpens Iron today, or the
it.
Amber May Show.
That's
there you
it.
Go. So, yes, my show's on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Focus on Faith. I'm thinking we almost need to combine and do an hour block. That would be a powerhouse.
That would be.
Focus on Faith and Amber May Show.
That would be.
I love that.
You know, today's topic is Christians in the Media. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I hear people like, what?
Right.
So let's talk about that, because do Christians really have a role or a place in media?
Yes, we do. We have a place everywhere in the world. And wherever it is God calls us to be and calls you to be, that's your territory and your mm-hmm. sphere of influence. And there's some main, I call them the mountains, you know, the kingdoms. When Satan tempted Jesus in the desert and he showed him all the kingdoms, because Lucifer knew whoever got the kingdoms gets the harvest.
That's right.
Because you're influencing those spheres that influence people
mm-hmm.
and the choices that they make. And one of the strongest mountains is media. I call it the media mountain, or the arts and entertainment mountain is another one. And we shape the culture. And then that way, when people go back to their sphere of influence, whether it's being a parent with a family, which is a smaller unit, or perhaps a principal with a unit over a big school, or a teacher, or a businessman, or a general manager, or whatever, you are going to directly impact those people that are underneath you. And so that's why media is so important. So when we say Christians in media, I've heard groups say Christians and media, but I like the Christians in media, because I do believe the way that we're going to influence the world for Jesus is to do it from the inside out.
I agree. And you're absolutely right that media does influence people.
Absolutely.
You look at TV from the 1950s to now and how much it's changed. I mean, before, a husband and wife couldn't even be in the same bed together. They had to be in twin beds with a table separating them. They were fully covered. And now it's like bra and panties are nothing. Cussing's nothing. I mean, all this stuff that comes on TV now has directly influenced our society, because you look at the society and it's free love. And so media does influence us, whether we want to believe that or not.
Yes, and you know, and also it's that saying, art imitates life or life imitates art. What people need to realize is that even though back in those days before the Hays Code came out, which influenced what we could show on TV or think or in movies, there, you know, these kind of things were going on. They just weren't as known or out there. They were more in the closet. And I think that, of course, the 60s with the, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and in the 70s, that whole generation, you know, freedom. It was supposed to bring love and freedom, but it was an antichrist spirit, almost opposite of what Christ's love is, which really does free people. This was a type of love that put people in bondage, and sexually transmitted diseases went up, drug addictions went up, a divorce rate in church or non-church families went up. So we can see that, yes, we are desensitized as a society, and there is a polarization happening that the church, the body of Christ, is being sanctified and pulled out for holiness and the things of God. And if we're in media, then we probably need to realize that we want to be on that side.
That's right.
Because, like, you know, Joshua, you know, they said, whose side are you on? It's for me and my house will serve the Lord.
Right.
Choose you this day. Choose life so that others might live. And, you know, for many years, I've been in radio, TV, and film for 25 years. And I can tell you, in the beginning part of my career, most of my career, I was a secular disc jockey, classic rock DJ, and then into television. And just recently, the last 10 years, the Lord has really challenged me to use my gifts and talents for His kingdom and for edifying the saints and also evangelism. And I'm not perfect at it, but I am willing to surrender those gifts. And I find that it's a daily dying and a daily process. So I want to encourage anybody out there that's listening, don't give up. And if you fall down, get back up, whatever your sphere of influence is.
You know, that's one thing I commend Kirk Cameron for. We all remember him from Growing Pains. He was a teen idol back in the 80s. And he found God, and now he's using his talents for God. And one of the most powerful movies I've seen in recent times was his last movie that he came out
Fireproof.
With, Love, Fireproof and Love Dare. And and that's a life-changing movie, because if you think about the principles it's teaching, and then if you go and buy the book and you follow the book, it teaches about love. And love conquers all. Love conquers a multitude of sins. And
love never fails.
Love never fails. And forgiveness is in love.
Yes.
You can't love without forgiveness or forgive without love. It's kind of intertwined, and we talked about that last week. So it's a great thing for us as believers to start penetrating the media or telling the media what we want to see.
Right.
Wholesomeness and things like that.
Well, and I think that there, you know, there, you have to remember show business. It's called show business. It's about entertainment. And there's four letters in show. There's eight in business. So I always tell people that everybody wants to be in front of the camera or behind the microphone. You know, and I say, well, that's the show side. But the business side is what runs the industry. So we as believers need to learn how the industry works and be approved workmen that are not ashamed, like it says in 2 Timothy, right? So we need to study our craft, yes. And there's ways to tell God principles in films. You know, God's principles work whether the heathen use it or the non-saved people use it or whether the saved use it. And, you know, Spielberg is sensational for using God principles in his movies, and that's why they resonate with people globally around the world. And we need to be able to do that. And at times, with films like Fireproof, I say, you know, up it a little bit. There's a movie, I was just in Hawaii on Oahu, on the North Shore, they shot a film called Soul Surfer with Dennis Quaid and Helen Hunt, and it's about the surfer Bethany Hamilton, whose arm was bit off by a tiger shark back in 2005. And it's about her journey and her faith in God, and Carrie Underwood's in it. So there's a lot of big name stars attached to it. And I'm seeing a shift happening in Hollywood where they realize the faith-based market is huge, or humanitarian films or family values films. So because we are choosing those kind of films at the stores or when we the box office, when we go see a movie, it's like voting that we want to see more of those. So I believe that there will be more films that have come out like that.
Wow, that's great. So how does a believer work in this kind of environment? Because there's a lot of if you lack of a better word, sin, a lot of sin in Hollywood.
Yes.
A lot of ungodliness in Hollywood. So how does a believer function in that kind of atmosphere?
Just like everybody day to day, right? It's just, you know, it's a journey, it's a process, and we serve a great God, and grace, His arm is not too short to save wherever you're at, wherever God has called you to be. And if you're a frontline Christian in Hollywood, or what I say, you know, behind enemy lines, in places like that, God will equip you, He'll sustain you, but it's really about staying close to Him and being in His presence and seeing what He's doing and how He's doing it, and then use wisdom to doing that. Because you can't always speak Christianese or the language that we know in the mm-hmm. church to non-believers or in these worlds, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but yet we can still be relevant and we can still show God's love and also look for that window of opportunity when God promotes us, just like Joseph in Egypt or Daniel in Babylon. Mm-hmm. Because I work at two stations. Yes, I work here at KXXT with Focus on Faith on Wednesday, and I'm able to talk about the things of God. But I also work at a secular TV station, AZTV. And even though I have been able to host a talk show called Focus on Faith, about 80% of my time at AZTV is mm-hmm. spent in not things that are outwardly about God.
Okay.
But yet, holiness is just set apart for the things of God. And if there's a work that God's commissioned for me to do at AZTV to allow churches around Arizona to have 30-minute shows on a secular station, then whether it's a Christian station or a secular station, I am doing what God's called me to do.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things, you know, Jesus even washed the feet of His disciples. That was a great act of servanthood He did. But I think it was teaching us that in this journey we're all on, whatever we're doing in this life, our feet are going to get dirty.
That's right.
Yeah. Even in church. Mm-hmm. Come on now. You know, let's get, if we can be real, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes a church can be a battlefield in itself. And we, you know, we see how sometimes the gospel's manipulated for financial gain or power gain, or it no longer becomes about the thing, which is souls, Jesus, mm-hmm. or feeding the sheep. It's about building people's kingdoms. And working in Christians in media, there's also that flip side. And I did do this film in 2003 that's aired around the world on two major Christian networks that I, you know, have been privy to see things in the body of Christ that I'm like, it's just like what I've seen in the world. There's no difference. And it breaks my heart. So if it breaks my heart, I know it must be breaking the heart of the Father. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's all about consecration. And without, we don't want to get into condemnation, you know, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we are in Christ. So it's all about really, as long, you know, checking your heart and making sure you're right with God, you're doing what He's told you to do, what is your motivation, and then how are you loving and interacting with people around you?
I think the key word there is motivation and love.
Yes.
Because we could be doing things, quote unquote, for God, but maybe the motivation isn't to reach the lost or to do God's will, but to get the glory. You know, so our motivation is huge, and I'm sure you've seen it. I know I've seen it working in the media that sometimes people's motivation is not of God. They're, quote unquote, doing God's work by putting a godly show or a Christian show on.
Right.
But the motivation was just to get famous or to have money.
Or to build their own kingdom.
Right. So can you tell some about your movie? I know you have a movie coming out next year, but tell us a little bit about some of the movies you've done and then maybe give us kind of a sneak peek of this movie coming out next year.
Okay. I've written five feature film screenplays. The Lord, back in 1995, you know, put it on my heart that whatever's in your heart's going to be in your art, and to show me how to interpret the things of God in films. So I've been studying, you know, all my career. And in 2003, I shot my first feature film about Carla Faye Tucker. And if people want to see it, they can go to YouTube. We have it on YouTube now. It's going to be hitting home entertainment. We're kind of doing it backwards a little bit. But because of the theme of the film, Carla Faye Tucker was the first woman executed in the state of Texas back in 1998. And her story was seen around the world on Larry King Live, CNN, 60 Minutes. So high profile mm-hmm. execution. And her Texas inmate number was 777. So
oh, no.
Hello. Hallelujah. This was God's girl. So the film has been, you know, we made it in a way that it could go into prison ministry, because that's really what her heartbeat was for a particular ministry, was prisons and the highways and the byways. So we made the film in a way that it could go back into prisons with her story. And right now it's airing in prisons all over the world.
So you said she had a prison ministry?
Yes. Well, she married a prison minister the last 2 years of her life. And she was arrested. Again, it was a double pickaxe killing in Houston, Texas. And she became a born-again Christian about 5 months into her arrest. Spent 14 years in a 6x9 cell, 23 hours a day, just worshiping God and learning about Him. And grew in the Lord in such a powerful way. And in the last 2 years, there was a prison minister. And they fell in love. And Dana Brown and Carla married. And so he was like her covering. And then the film is the last 2 years of their life in that journey.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's powerful. And but it's on YouTube now, and if you want to go see it. And also the interviews with the cast and crew and the real Carla Faye Tucker. So they're online for people to watch. But the other films that I've written, one is Romans Road, which is about five women on their spiritual walk with God. All one's not saved, one's into denominationalism, one's into religion, one's, you know, so what do we say? Heavenly minded, they're no earthly. But it's so good. It's all about balance. You know, one is, again, like you say, using the gospel for ill-gotten gain, for their own kingdom that they're trying to build. Mm-hmm. And it shows women in real issues. One is dealing with bulimia. Another, you know, in a loveless marriage. One that is not saved. She's in a new marriage. So it's just about women and their struggles. Kind of like the movie Steel Magnolias when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we talk about God themes. So, and it takes place on a military base. We're going to be shooting that at Williams Air Force Base.
I can't wait.
I know. I'm very excited about that one. Also written an epic called Saul of Tarsus about the Apostle Paul, but in a way that we see his humanity, not his sainthood.
Okay.
So like when he's writing Love is Patient, Love is Kind, we're seeing him and he's not very patient and not very kind. And he and Peter are getting in an argument.
Yeah, because that happened quite a bit.
Yeah, it did. And he and Barnabas, you know, and there was a sharp disagreement concerning Mark, you know, and Paul didn't want Mark to go with them. And so we see that sometimes we have to agree to disagree as believers, and that realize that sometimes things for a season, a reason, you know, there's times and seasons, and knowing where we start and stop with anything with God, I think is one of the powerful things that people can take away today on the show, is really asking God and listening to God and knowing where you start and stop. And we aren't Holy Ghost Junior.
I love how you put things.
You know, it's like, you know, sometimes I just look at people and say, you know, you just need to relax and just trust God, pray, and let God be God in the situation and know where you start and stop, because we can actually hinder the work of God, and we don't want to do that in people's lives.
And sometimes we have to hear God, and He'll tell us, don't speak
back
to
off,
this person.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just as much as knowing not when to, you know, when to talk is when not to talk.
That's it. Because we can hinder people at times. I know God has told me, don't mention me to this person for a while.
Just pray for them.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually He's given me that opportunity to start sharing things. But for a while, I was not allowed to. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. But you know what? It's all in God's timing, because He knew what was right for that person at that time. And maybe someone else was talking to him. And if I would have said something, maybe I would have interfered, or who knows. But their heart was open by the time I started talking to him. So that's really exciting. So it's very important to know and listen on God's directions and cues.
Yes, because some sow, some water, and God gives the increase. But we like to give the increase because we want to see those salvations now.
How exciting that God gives you the ability to, because some people are visual learners, mm-hmm. some people are audible learners, some people, there's different types of learning that people take. And you have that gift to put audio and visual together to create a story, just like Jesus did with parables. So you're kind of using the parables on a whole nother level that can really speak to a multitude of people. The movies can go everywhere around the world.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is. It is exciting to be where God is at work, and making sure that we keep the thing, and knowing that it may just be one God principle that's in the movie, mm-hmm. whether it's keep on keeping on or about perseverance. And it doesn't always necessarily have to be over the top, like when you watch Carla Faye Tucker, Forevermore, I call the movie Forevermore because that's a long name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk away with it with knowing that in our life or death, God will be glorified, that we can trust him. And unless the Lord builds a house, they that build it labor in vain, you know, that build it, we have to make sure that God's in what we're doing. But the film Soul Surfer, which I just saw them wrap up shooting on Oahu, you know, here's this young girl, Bethany Hamilton, who is a surfer, and a tiger, a random act of nature. She's in the water and a tiger shark bites her arm off. Now, she could have quit, she could have given up, but she feels God's pleasure when she surfs, so she gets back on the board and surfs. So hopefully this movie, even though I know that there's some scripture in it, like Romans 8:28 and Jeremiah 29:11,
for I know, my favorite verse.
I love that one too. I mean, if we could just all go home right now after that verse. Do you want to say it?
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's it. Hope and a future. And I think when people watch Soul Surfer, they're going to walk away with that.
What would you say to you? Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. We're flowing.
I was just wondering, what would you say to people who want to pursue acting and they're believers, yet they're put in a situation where they have to compromise by kissing the same sex or having sex scenes, things like that? What would your advice be?
Well, as for an actor, I don't think God's going to lead you anywhere that he doesn't want you to be. I really believe that. And it comes down to not being outcome-based. And are you acting because you want to act? Or are you acting because this is what the Lord has created you to do? And that verse, you know, in all things that we do, whether it's eating, drinking, whatever, do it for the glory of God, you mm-hmm. know? So I believe, you know, that there is a balance. I know Kirk Cameron has said that his wife stood in for the character in Fireproof, so when he had to kiss his movie wife, it was his real wife. Mm-hmm. You know, and in that I would go, okay, well, that's what he wanted to do. But I don't think God looks down on that if he was kissing the actress in that. Now, mm-hmm. if we're talking about, you know, like you said, sex scenes and things like that, I don't think we need to have gratuitous sex in movies to make them good. I even think that that is just like the lowest form of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, intimacy on a true level is so much more powerful than physical eros sex. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think a lot of times filmmakers, directors, and writers, I would challenge them to try to write a scene. Like when you watch Forevermore, the movie we did about Carla and Dana, on Texas Death Row, they were husband and wife, but they could never touch. There's a scene that is so powerful where they called it Mush Through the Mesh, and they're rubbing their hands on the screen. And the song is altogether lovely, and you see the spiritual oneness of a husband and a wife without them ever touching. And to me, that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, you read the Song of Solomon, and that is some of the most erotic writing I know on the planet.
Yeah.
And people are like, people are now ready to go grab their Bible that have not opened their Bible
right.
in years. So again, media works. That's good. But and I say that in a passionate way that, you know, sex was created by God. The marriage bed is undefiled. So for me personally, on a personal note, I don't think I would use sex in a movie. Just, I mean, I would always look at it as an actor and say, okay, you know, if you're putting yourself in a film, you're not the director. The director is the head of the movie and mm-hmm. is a producer. So you know that you may be put in that kind of situation. At that point, you just need to go to God, and you're big enough to hear from God. Pray. And now if you feel okay with God, if you feel like, you know, that your heart isn't judging you and that you're right with God, do what God says to do. And then at that point, you need to move forward and not worry about what other people say. And that's the hardest thing to do. But if we live our lives trying to give an account to every person, you know, I run into this all the time. I was going over this just last week. I did a show with Pat McMahon about St. Patrick's Day, and the crew, because, you know, just trying to make it look like St. Patrick's Day, put green drinks, liquid in our glasses, which was, it was a green lime Powerade. Mm-hmm. But when I watched the show back, they're in margarita glasses. So of course it's looking like I'm drinking like a margarita on the rocks. Mm-hmm. So immediately I'm like, wow, you know, we don't even want to do the appearance of evil. I mean, that's the place I'm getting at in my walk mm-hmm. with God. But yet I found myself almost an apologist for living instead of, you know what, God knows my heart. I was just having fun with Pat McMahon, and I know I'm drinking green Powerade. And if somebody out there is looking at me that closely under a microscope, you know, have at it, man. I'm just glad you're not my judge, okay?
That's it, because, you know, none of us are perfect, and we all like to look at each other, I think, to make ourselves feel better, that, oh, I'm not as bad as that person.
Right.
But you know what?
We're human.
Don't worry about the other person. Worry about yourself, because you're the one who has to stand before God, not somebody else.
Amen. And love always, you know, love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love looks for the best.
That's it.
And I love that third one. We always leave that out, but I love that, you know, love looks at the best. I look at a person, and even if they did something that, you know, they're probably already beating themselves up about it.
Probably.
Just love them. A righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up. And that doesn't mean counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 is the number for completeness in the Bible. So we are in a completed state of falling. I'm not trying to get in agreement with that. I do believe we can live victoriously, but we need to give ourselves a break, because mm-hmm. God sure does. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," you know, what has more power, Adam's fall from grace or Jesus redeeming us?
Jesus, hands down.
Amen. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus covers it washes away all the sins of the world, past, present, future. So, you know, sins that we've done, the minute we do it, the second later, now it's in the past, right? So our sins have been forgiven.
Yep.
So we are under waterfall of forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying a license to go sin, you know.
Absolutely not.
No, we are going from glory to glory, faith to faith, right?
That's
so
it.
So we want to be transformed into the image of Christ, but give yourself a break, man. Just give yourself a break. And if you fall down, get back up and get it right, and let's move forward.
You know, Helen, a half hour just goes way too quickly with you.
It's already over, praise God.
I can't believe it. So you guys get a second chance to hear Miss Helen Gibson tomorrow, right here on the lovely 1010 at 4:00. But instead of thinking about number one yourself, think about number two, somebody else,
yes.
Because eventually number two will look out for you. Okay. Take care.
Good faith radio shows like the one you just heard can't stay on the air without partners who listen, get blessed, and learn more about God's Word, and then contribute with financial help. Even a small love offering invested in the show you just heard goes so far as to help pay for airtime and as a vote to keep the show on the air. Send your love offerings to Amber May at the station or AmberMayShow.com. That's here at the station or AmberMayShow.com. Thank you for listening to the Lord and for giving to this radio outreach.
If you're looking to create a website, then look no further. I have partnered up with GoDaddy.com to get you a discount on hosting domain names, as well as other products or services. GoDaddy is the world's largest domain name registrar, and GoDaddy delivers the highest quality customer service by listening to their customers. Receive 20% off your hosting when you use promo code AMS20H. You can also receive .com domain names for $7.49 when you use the promo code AMS3. To find more discounts for GoDaddy.com, please visit my website, AmberMayShow.com. Remember, for 20% off your hosting, use promo code AMS20H or AMS3 to receive .com domain names for only $7.49.